You are listening to The Secrets of Doctor Who, episode number 11.
I'm a doctor. I've lived for over 2,000 years.
I am Scottish. I can complain about things.
Shush.
Welcome to a new episode of The Secrets of Doctor Who, and it is time to discuss the finale, the two episodes that together form the closure to the eighth series of Doctor Who, starring Peter Capaldi this year for the first time. Joining me today to talk about these two epic episodes, Jimmy Akin, all the way from San Diego.
Howdy, Father.
Father Corey, from a very, very cold northern place in the United States.
Good morning.
Called Malta, and it is not the warm Malta. It's the colder version.
I wish I was in the island of Malta because it would probably be a lot more comfortable.
You know what? The temperatures in your place are probably already preluding on the Christmas special of Doctor Who.
Exactly.
And joining us all the way from Boston, Dom Bettinelli. Good morning, Dom.
Good morning. Just call me the Master.
Well, we'll debate about that. We'll talk about that later. Well, we've got quite the work in front of us because we need to discuss all the ins and outs of the finale. And let's start right away with the first part of that finale, which is Dark Water.
This is it, Clara, one of those moments.
What moments?
The darkest day, the blackest hour. Let's see what we're made of. You and I. These are troops. Why would anyone go to so much trouble just to keep watching on the dead? The dead don't come back. Who are you?
You know who I am.
Doctor Who on BBC One and BBC One HD.
The dead don't come back, or do they? Jimmy, what happened in this episode?
Well, in this episode, Clara finally gets around to having the conversation with Danny that he's been asking to have with her for some time, and she doesn't do it in person. She does it over the phone, and she's building up to telling him that she loves him. But when she actually says it, she doesn't realize it, but he's just been hit by a car and killed. So Danny Pink is dead. And Clara struggles with this. She then decides to try to force the doctor into using his ability to rewrite time to change this. And she actually betrays the doctor. She takes a bunch of TARDIS keys and starts throwing them into a lava pit in order to lock him out of the TARDIS permanently unless he complies with her will, which he refuses to do. He turns the tables on her, but then he generously offers to try to use the TARDIS to find wherever Danny Pink is right now. He says he's always meant to explore the question of the afterlife, and so he plugs Clara into the telepathic circuits of the TARDIS that they've used before and tells her to think of where Danny Pink is right now, wherever that may be. They then find themselves in what looks kind of like a darkened museum, except it's got tons and tons of giant aquariums, or so it seems, but they're not ordinary aquariums. They have human skeletons in them. We eventually learn this place is run by something called the 3W Corporation, and at this point, Missy, who we've been seeing all season in cutaways, shows up and presents herself as a welcome android and gets very familiar with the doctor. She then introduces the doctor to a gentleman named Dr. Chang, who explains that the aquariums are filled with something called dark water, which it allows you to see through inorganic matter. So there's actually inorganic matter around all of the skeletons in the fish tanks. He also explains what the 3W Corporation is. It apparently was founded after three words that a scientist heard through a technology that allowed him to overhear the recently dead. And those three words were, "Don't cremate me," because apparently cremation is extremely painful for people who have died. We also cut away to Danny in the afterlife. He's being registered by Seb, who we've seen before, and he meets an Afghani boy that he apparently accidentally killed. We'd had some indication that Danny had quit being a soldier after something terrible happened, and apparently it was the death of this Afghani boy. Also, Clara ends up talking to Danny over a kind of communications device, but Clara is not convinced it's him. She keeps trying to get him to say something only Danny would know, and he tells her that he loves her, and she indicates if he can convince her it's really him, she will never leave him. But he actually wants her to go on with her life. He doesn't want her to stay in the nether sphere. And so he tells her, I love you one more time, to get her to conclude it's not him and sever the connection. We also learn what the nether sphere is. The doctor refers to it as a matrix slice, if I remember correctly. Basically, it's a Time Lord hard drive. And that leads him to realize that Missy is not an android, but a Time Lady. And she says that she's the one that he left for dead, raising the possibility that it's a Time Lady like Susan or Romana, that both of which he ended up leaving along the way. The water in the tanks starts to go down, revealing that in addition to the skeletons inside the tanks, there are also Cyberman suits, and they're all filled with Cybermen. They start to get out. And Clara is alone with one. Meanwhile, Missy and the doctor exit the museum, which turns out to be St. Paul's Cathedral in London, Anglican Cathedral. And the Cybermen are marching through central London. Missy reveals herself to be the Master, Doctor Who's old foe, as many suspected. And finally, Seb offers Danny the chance to delete all of his emotions because he is so broken up by what's happened with him and Clara. And the episode ends with him looking at an iPad trying to figure out whether or not to delete all of his emotions.
Mm-hmm. And that was the cliffhanger ending of the first part of the finale. Dom, I remember you posting on Facebook, I think, like your astonishment with the story of this particular episode.
Well, incidentally, I have that app on my iPad, so I might activate it halfway through.
Don't activate it just yet. I want to hear your emotion.
It'll make you a less interesting guest.
Yes. Apparently. I got to tell you a little bit. My wife, Millie, she has never watched Doctor Who before, and she started just this first season. So she's experiencing all this for the first time, although she's a fan of Sherlock, so she knows Stephen Moffat's proclivities and his writing. Mm-hmm. I had a very angry wife at the start of this episode as immediately Danny steps off her curb and gets hit by a car. And we were both astonished that, I mean, I kind of saw it coming. I mean, I think we all did. But to have it, like, literally start with a bang, like that was such a shock to the system. And then there was another, you know, then Clara's shock to the system with her behavior. And it was so, you know, this episode and this two part finale just started off so with a bang, that it was by the end of it, you're just kind of breathless. Everything had moved so fast, and so many answers to so many things that had been building during the series, and frankly, since the beginning of Clara's time on Doctor Who, that it all just came so quickly, and you kind of had, you know, I always watch these episodes twice, once just to experience it, and once to take notes, and I had to watch it again just to experience it again because it was just so much, so fast. Overall, it was wow. I thought it was great. I thought this was an excellent wrap up. I love when a writer, you know, a lot of people don't like when writers kill off beloved characters. I don't necessarily want to kill off beloved characters, but I love when writers and producers feel free to take those chances and to put the characters in jeopardy. And maybe we will never see them again, you know, if they kill them off. And that's part of good storytelling. It may not be what I really want for Danny or Clara. If it comes to that, we'll talk about that later. But it's what we, you know, it's what makes a good story. And I really enjoyed this one.
The BBC received hundreds of complaints about this episode because of the brutal death of Danny. And knowing that this is a show that is also geared towards children, or at least to a lot of the people in the UK are watching this with their kids, it is quite daring what they did here. And definitely not really something I would recommend immediately to kids. Although, on the other hand, we've seen this more and more in television series, putting the lives of even main characters into jeopardy just ups the stakes instead of like everybody's always safe because they need to return the week after and only red shirts die. Well, that's definitely not the case here. Father Corey, what did you think?
You know, it definitely set, you know, talking about the death and kind of the opening sequence really did kind of set the whole the whole structure where the Doctor and Clara would have to face the Nether Sphere. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we'd been having glimpses of it throughout the season and we had absolutely no clue what it was about. We had nothing. You know, it was they would give us these little 30-second snippets of Missy or of somebody getting improcessed or something like that. And we really wouldn't have more beyond that. So I think it did a good job of putting that there. There are some things in the episodes I enjoyed. There are some things I didn't. Clara's reaction, I was kind of, I can't say surprised by, but just it was kind of a, I guess it was a little bit of a shock just mm-hmm. that she was willing to go so far that she would even lock the Doctor out of the TARDIS forever. Things like that.
I think it was, fortunately, it turned out all to be an illusion, but it shows how desperate she was. And
exactly.
Willing to go, you know, to do whatever it takes to bring back her Danny. And so it's kind of the other side of love, I guess. But it was pretty shocking. I was like, wow, if this is really happening, I immediately thought this is too surreal. And we had seen the TARDIS in a glimpse on a foreign planet. I was like, wow, this episode really is almost in a surreal phase or another dimension. I just couldn't believe that it was truly happening. And so that was the case. It was all an illusion. But still, it was happening in her mind, which is already intense. Mm-hmm. So in her intentions, she was ready to do it. Jimmy, what about you? What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was a really good episode. I thought that it didn't disappoint in the ways that I was afraid it might. Mm-hmm. In terms of Danny dying, it's interesting they got as many complaints because they didn't actually show us the death. They didn't show him being hit by a car. They didn't give us even the sound of him being hit by a car. It was totally silent. And we never got a shot of the body afterwards. And that's so not a close-up or clear one anyway. So it was very underplayed in that way. I really loved the scene where Clara is throwing away the keys. I thought that was awesome. I'm willing to forgive them, though, for the fact, just because of how awesome the drama was between the two characters, I'm willing to forgive them the fact that either the Doctor or Clara can open the TARDIS by snapping their fingers. And in
true.
Fact,
you're right.
The two of them had a finger snapping contest earlier in the season. So.
I forgot about that. Yes.
but I loved the scene anyway. One of the things that, as I predicted, they didn't end up taking a stand on does the afterlife exist or not. And I thought that was important for the franchise not really to certainly not dismiss it. And one of the things that was interesting is concerning the afterlife is the Doctor noted that almost every culture has this concept, or he may have even said every culture. It certainly is true on Earth. Every culture has the concept of an afterlife. And that's a pointer to the idea that there is one. And I like the fact that he was willing to explore that. As dismissive as he's been of some religious themes, he was willing to say, okay, maybe there's something there. Let's see if we can find it.
Yes. By the way, this was also what the BBC told the complainers in, I think, even an official statement at one point. The complaints were not just about Danny's death, but the whole, you know, the depth of the themes. People were afraid that if this was all going to be about heaven and afterlife and death and, who knows, resurrection, that would go beyond what they expect of a science fiction show that is merely an entertainment. And the BBC was like, well, you know what? The Doctor immediately dismisses this whole thing as a scam, and it turns out to be a scam. So don't worry. Your afterlife is still intact. I was for a moment when we still didn't know that it was all happening inside a hard drive, basically. I was like, well, at least there's coffee in the afterlife. So that was very comforting to me.
Yeah, but apparently some of it's not very good.
Well, that could be, you know, part of the, if this is a Catholic heaven, then that perhaps the purgatory is where you get the bad coffee and you get the nice Italian cappuccino and then you know you're really in heaven.
One thing connected with the death theme that I thought I kind of had two minds about it. There's a moment where Seb is talking with Danny in the Nethersphere, and Danny says, "So you have iPads in the afterlife?" And they are clearly iPads.
Yes.
And Seb says, "We have Steve Jobs." and on the one hand, that's a great line.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, maybe a little too soon, given that some of Steve Jobs' loved ones may be out there in the audience.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was kind of a risky joke. But on the other hand, we've seen even cartoons like The Day After He Died that were exactly like that, where Steve Jobs is talking to St. Peter at the Pearly Gates, and he's like, have you got iPads?
You know, did anyone catch the Easter egg when Clara was gathering up the keys? Did anyone catch the title of the book?
Traveler's Wife.
Oh, I missed that one. That's a good catch.
I had to stop and rewind because I knew that had to be a significant book.
There were a lot of Easter eggs and references, as in every episode of this season. The most visible one, I think, is the whole aquarium-like structure of the mausoleum that they're at, which is similar. It's not exactly the same, but it's similar to an episode from 1967, The Tomb of the Cyberman. And you've got a similar depiction of the Cyberman kind of waiting in stasis and getting activated whenever, you know, the doctor is near.
Yeah, there are two visual references to Patrick Troughton episodes, The Time of the Second Doctor. One of them is Tomb of the Cybermen, and you're right, it's not exactly the same, but you do have the Cybermen kind of embedded in this very tall structure in individual cells that they then break out of when they reactivate. The other, which may be even more famous, is when the Cybermen are descending the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral.
Yes.
And that's from another Patrick Troughton episode known as The Invasion, where they invaded London the first time.
And that's been a very iconic image of Cyberman in London, because it's real London. It's not a set. This was filmed right there on the steps of the cathedral. And of course, since this is a kind of a budget production in general compared to American television, they filmed everything that happens in London on the same day. So immediately after the confrontation of the Doctor with the SWAT team, or what was it, these Navy SEALs or whatever it was?
Oh, no, UNIT.
UNIT, yes.
And they're significant because, for two reasons. One is they were first introduced as a group in The Invasion.
Uh-huh.
And also, it wasn't his first appearance, but UNIT was led by Brigadier General Lethbridge Stewart, who is the father of Kate, the current scientific advisor head of UNIT.
Yes. And we'll definitely talk more about UNIT in the discussion of the second part of the finale. But immediately when they wrapped up that particular scene, they brought in all the extras dressed up as Cyberman, and it makes for a very visually very compelling episode. I had some trouble understanding why that would happen in the cathedral, and then later on gets explained by, you know what, this is all Time Lord technology, you know, bigger on the inside. So they just folded it into the cathedral. I think there's even a reference, an obscure reference to previous Doctor Who episodes in the name of the mausoleum, which is the chaplet mausoleum, I think.
Oh, that's actually in the second episode in Death in Heaven.
Oh, okay, okay.
And that's a possible reference to one of Doctor Who's former companions.
Right.
Back during the time of, was it the first? It was either the first or second. I think it was the first Doctor. He had briefly had a companion named Dodo Chaplet.
There you go.
She was kind of a mod 60s girl, and she flamed out as a character. She ended up being in just a few episodes, and then in the middle of a serial, she went to the country to recuperate and never came back.
She went the way of the dodo. All makes sense.
Kind of an ill-omened name for that character.
Indeed. There's also the name of Deb. No, wait, not Deb, but Seb.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Seb could refer to Sebastian, one of the early Christian martyrs. So that would be fitting for someone who is in the afterlife. But it could also refer to, I think, is it a god from the Egyptian mythology?
Oh, yeah. There is a Seb there. Also, I'd I don't know why I'd been assuming this, but I had been kind of assuming that it was short for Sebastus, which is the Greek equivalent of Augustus.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that would be interesting as well, because we've seen Augustus on the train episode. Well, now, did you all see it coming that this had to do with the Cyberman? Some of you might have seen spoilers before, but I was looking at that symbol in the waiting room where Danny is waiting, and I was like, that's interesting. Two circles, a big circle and a small circle. What could that mean? And I wrote it down, and it was when we get the first glimpse of the Cyberman. It's like, oh, it was right there. Of course, that's the eyes of the Cyberman.
And right before that happens, the doctor goes through a pair of double doors, each one of which has that symbol reversed. And as the doors fold together, you suddenly realize Cyberman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It took me a while. I was like, but that was one of those moments where you're like, oh, that is so smart.
It's also nice. It's nicely disguised, even though it's hiding in plain sight, because they're in the nether sphere. Uh-huh. So you would suppose a circle of some kind would be their symbol.
Oh, of course. Yeah, well, and actually
even the doctor missed that, because he talked about how I'm missing something. It's right in front of my face and I'm missing it.
Exactly. And the sphere itself is also the shape of the hard drive, right? It's a sphere. Mm-hmm. It's a floating. Now, have we seen a hard drive like that before, or is that a new thing?
It's a new thing, but it's based on something we have seen before. On Gallifrey, they have a massive computer known as the Matrix. And periodically, the doctor has entered the Matrix as kind of a virtual reality. And normally, I hate episodes that are based on entering virtual reality, because it sucks the drama out of the episode, since you know this isn't really happening. And the most it's going to do is give someone a heart attack in an artificial way to up the drama. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I thought it worked much better, because they didn't tell us it was a virtual reality that people were in.
And I think it was very well executed visually as well, when they go to the balcony and then you see this whole, basically a city that is just endless, and it curves up. And at first I'm thinking, oh, it looks like Halo, like one of those rings. And
we've seen that.
Yeah, Hollow Earth. And then, of course, later on, you see that it is actually a sphere. So that's just the inside of the sphere. I thought it was really well done. And I also really liked the moment, and I forgot if it's in this episode or the next one, with the kid, basically referring to Danny's past and that confrontation between the two.
One thing that I liked is there's the scene where Missy is still pretending to be a droid, and she is explaining that her heart is cared for by the doctor, and the doctor says, "Doctor Who?" And instead of playing with that any further, she screams, "Dr. Chang!"
Yes.
At which point this guy shows up, and they show him a psychic paper to convince him that the doctor is a government inspector. And he says, "What's all this cussing?" And the doctor says, "I have a lot of repressed anger," which is not only true for the character, but also is an apparent reference to his role as Malcolm Thicke from The Thick of It, where he was known for cussing profusely.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Mm. I didn't even go that far. But I didn't realize that, but I thought it was just a brilliant joke.
But by the way, it was just a brief scene, but when at the beginning, when Clara was trying to get hold of the doctor, you know, she had her cell phone there, her mobile ringing to the doctor. Mm-hmm. There was an older woman that was there with her. And
her
that
grandma.
Her grandma, yes. That older woman was played by Sheila Reid, who was in a sixth Doctor episode called Vengeance on Veros. She was one of the workers at the mining company there. So this was her second appearance, actually third appearance, because she showed up in with Clara before.
I knew she looked familiar. Yeah, in Vengeance on Vera, she's a miner, and she's paired with a male miner, and they're watching executions on television.
Yes, which is that was her.
Right, I knew she looked familiar. Okay, cool.
At one point, Missy is yelling, "Bring out your dead," and apparently that's a reference to the victims of the Great Plague in the 17th century.
Also Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Is that so?
Oh, yeah. That's a famous line from there. "Bring out your dead. I'm not dead yet." That's the guy here. You'll be dead soon. Don't worry.
And, of course, we don't really know what is happening there. Let's see. Any other hidden secrets, Easter eggs that you've noticed?
I'm sure there are more. I'm not remembering any right now.
So I had to Google the name Zylo Jones, who was the first of the skeletons we saw in the water. And
yeah.
What he came up with was some hip-hop guy on SoundCloud. So I'm kind of curious. It possibly could be him that they're doing an homage to, but I couldn't find another reference to it. So it was very interesting. I mean, apparently, as we find out later, that all of the people in these special tombs are the rich and wealthy who have heard the three words and have decided that that's how they want to be preserved from being, you know, cremated or other things in the afterlife. So this is apparently an important person, but I couldn't find a reference for Zylo Jones.
Now, of course, we've been speculating throughout this season about the true identity of Missy. Well, how did you all feel that it turned out to be the master, as we kind of all agreed upon?
I thought it was awesome.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say I was a little bit disappointed, but I wanted the Ronnie, another time lady, to appear.
Oh, another time lady.
Yeah, she was in the 6th and 7th Doctor. She was a scientist who had gotten banished from Gallifrey for unethical
you mentioned
experiments.
And basically, the Ronnie kind of was just a female version of the Master. He was like an evil scientist who got banished too.
Mm-hmm. I liked it as well that it turned out to be the Master. I kind of was hoping that the writers could do something that would completely blow me away instead of us already having second-guessed who she was. But if you look at the history of Doctor Who, you know, who else could it have been? She now is kind of the Moriarty to Sherlock Holmes, you know? And whenever there are, like, big plans of world destruction, the Master is involved. And I think that I have to really compliment the actress on the way she played the sheer joy of being evil. It's just scary.
Yeah, that's what really sells it for me. If it was just another actor playing the Master, it wouldn't have been as interesting. But her performance is really what makes it fun. And it's like, yeah, I would like to see a lot more of this actress.
Yes.
This incarnation of the Master playing alongside the Doctor. I wasn't as big a fan. He was okay, but I wasn't as big a fan of the previous incarnation of the Master during the time of the 10th Doctor. Mm-hmm. He didn't really fit the mold of the Master. He certainly didn't look like the Master looked traditionally. And this one is much more back in that kind of traditional, stately, darker English mode of things than the Harold Saxon character was. And I really like the interplay between the two of them.
And, of course, again, nicely integrated tradition of the Master always disguising him at first. And this is the first time, I think, that the Master disguises himself as a cyber? It kind of explains the name Missy, Mobile Intelligent Systems Interface.
Yes.
And actually, at one point, I thought it was quite convincing. I was like, wow, it is a droid. And then, no, it is the Master, and it's just a play. But, man, that was really kind of bewildering. It's like, what is going on here? And then those aquariums, I didn't see it coming, that there were Cybermen in there.
One of the things also to notice about Missy's costume is it's kind of old-fashioned, and it's kind of modeled on Mary Poppins, but it also kind of reflects Peter Capaldi's costume, because he has this kind of understated, classical, dark-colored costume, and it kind of parallels the way Missy is dressed, even though hers is a feminine costume.
Yes, you're right. They're kind of have matching outfits and matching style. They're both older and a little bit more, I don't know, aristocratic, and the dynamic was fascinating. This is really she was so evil that it was really on par with the Doctor's genius. And there's always kind of been this ongoing battle of, you know, who's the best, who has the best knowledge, who's the smartest of the two.
Also, she, just like this incarnation of the Doctor, is kind of bananas. She's kind of bananas, too.
She is. Completely. there was just one scene that I found a little bit puzzling, and that was the very beginning when we see Clara calling Danny, and she's got all those post-it notes. And she's like saying goodbye, and this is the last time that I'm going to tell you that I love you. And it's like, what's up with that?
She's saying this is the last time I'm going to tell anyone I love you. These words are now yours. I'm only going to say them to you from now on.
Okay, that's what I missed. That explains it. Yeah.
And I think all the post-it notes are meant to be points she wants to remember to bring up in the conversation.
Ah, now I see it. Yes.
I do like the way that she syncs it up by just, you know, about five times, shut up, shut up, shut up, yes. Shut up. You know, like the doctor does.
Yes.
You know, where it's, I got to get this out. Just shut up.
And that wraps up our discussion of the first part of this epic finale of Series 8. We will be back with Episode 12 when we will dissect the episode Death in Heaven. You can find past and future episodes of The Secrets of Doctor Who on our website, doctorwho.sqpn.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Father Roderick. Talk to you soon.
When will I see you again?
Soon, I expect. Or later. One of those.